No? Okay. So, just while that's going on, I want to start with a distinction. You see, when Moses stumbled down Mount Sinai, clutching onto the two stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, commandment number 6 did not read, "Thou shalt not kill." It read, "Thou shalt not murder." Distinction. God seems to accept that there will be killing, but not murder. In the Torah, it's dealt with in just 2 words. Lo, tritzik. I'm not a very good linguist. Tritzik is the express word for murder. The word for killing is harak. Lo is the negative connotation that makes it you will not. When Cain murdered Abel in a field, way back in Genesis chapter 4, God came to him and said, "Cain, where's Abel? I haven't seen him around for a little while." Bear in mind, this is the God of all creation, maker of stars and planets, microbes, quantum entanglement. He knows where Abel is. He knows what's happened to Abel. He's not very happy about it. What does Cain say? Cain says, "What am I, my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is." Murder, lying, dissing the one true God. Not looking very good for Cain. God is very angry. And just listen to what he says. "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from this ground." The very ground cried out from the blood that had been spilt upon it. So heinous is murder. God will not tolerate it. Let me tell you a little story. A friend of mine, a guy called Moses, interestingly, just so happens to be the archbishop in one of the areas of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan. And a while ago, he had a call from one of the chiefs in his area, an area called Northern Balgazar. And they said, "Too many of our young people are dying. Too many. Can you come? You come and do something." So he went and investigated, and what he found out, these were cattle guards. Now, the Northern Balgazar area is cattle farming area. People who live there are called the Dinka tribe. It's about 210,000 of them. And they don't really have a culture of finance like we do, and money is important. Wealth is measured in cows. The more cows you have, the more wealthy you are, the more powerful you are, the more respected you are. So you can perhaps see that it might not be above the moral view of some people to pinch a few cows. Of course, you don't want your cows stolen, do you? So you are going to guard them. And of course, you're going to give your guards AK-47 machine guns. Because it's a gun culture, and they're easy to get. In fact, it's easier to get an AK-47 than it is to get a mobile phone. And everyone's got mobile phones. But of course, you're going to steal cows. You're going to need AK-47s, aren't you? So you can see what's going to happen. Some cows get stolen. Some people get killed. And then there's a revenge attack for the people that got killed. And then there's a revenge attack for the people that got killed in the revenge attack. And then it goes on and on and on. And people were dying for no good reason. Moses is a pretty wily character. And you have to remember, this is a fierce warrior culture. He went to all of the cattle camps in the area, and in each one, he gathered the local chiefs and the cattle guards, sat them all down. And what he said to them, "You must not attack your brother Dinkas. They are your family, they are your brothers. They are the same tribe as you. You must not attack them." And of course, fierce warriors, each one of them. They they responded, well, that's all well and good. But what if they attack us? Bishop Moses, very wily character, he said, well, that's different. They attack you. Of course you've got to defend yourself. But remember, do not attack them. And he went from cavalry camp to cavalry camp to cavalry camp, each time reiterating exactly the same thing. Defend yourself if you've got to, but do not attack them. Pretty soon after he finished, the attacks stopped. And the killing stopped with it. You see, Moses had made a distinction between attacking and killing, a proposition that this culture could accept. Wouldn't it be great if we could resolve all of our conflicts with just a few words of common sense? It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, life isn't like that, and conflict isn't like that. Conflict always used to be very distinct from civilian life. It used to be two groups of armed combatants out on a field, somewhere over there, having a battle. Each side knowing the rules of engagement, clearly understanding the risks, and any rewards that may come their way. You might be affected by the outcome of the battle, but you weren't in it, you weren't being involved. That's how wars were fought, that's how conflict works. Cullen was fought that way. Cressy was fought that way. Agincourt was fought that way. Lenin was fought that way. And Bosworth was fought that way. When we come to Waterloo, things changed a little. We started to industrialize as a culture. We've gotten better at war. If by better, you mean more people died. And it's around the time of Waterloo that we start to hear reports of poppies growing on the battlefield. The common field poppy, the Flanders poppy, a paver rhesus, nothing much more than wheat, really, loves to grow in loosened soil. Loosened soil that's been well fertilized. So if you've been chucking cannonballs around all day and riding horses up and down like cavalry, well, dropping blood here, there, and everywhere and leaving corpses to rot in the field, our poppies love that. They think that's brilliant. Well done. Thanks very much. Have a nice day. We'll just stay here and grow. By the time of the First World War, we had gotten so good at war that there were great gaps of poppies. Huge flowing rivers of red poppies in our battlefields, mimicking the blood that had been shed and the lives wasted there. The very ground crying out to God. You've probably heard of the song, The Greatest Loss of British Military Life in One Day. Let me just tell you about another battle. It's called Passchendaele. And the idea behind Passchendaele is quite a good idea, really, because the German submarines were attacking our shipping. And so the British and Commonwealth soldiers were going to sweep through the front line, up into Belgium, and take possession of the German submarine base. Easy peasy. The problem is, the battle stalled after 5 miles, and 200,000 British and Commonwealth soldiers were killed. And I imagine a similar amount on the German side. Just to get that into some kind of perspective for you, if it makes sense, everyone from here to Swindon died, and they advanced as far as Montreal. The very ground crying out to God. I don't know about murder, but it's certainly murderous. Modern warfare is, of course, different, and the distinction between combatant and civilian has been all but eroded. Think about the Vietnam Wars, the strategic bombing, and Agent Orange. Think about the two Iraq Wars. Think about the atrocities in Rwanda. I think about what's going on now, even as we speak, in Ukraine and in Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, where at any moment a piece of weaponry can drop out of the sky and eradicate you and your family. we are edging ever closer to that sixth commandment. And it's not just the ground crying out anymore. Turn on any television set, any mobile phone or computer, and you will see. In his time on earth, Jesus always advocated for peace. He pours scorn on the idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Just listen to this. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus didn't spend his time on earth displaying the power of God in acts of destruction and aggression. Instead, he spent his time displaying the power of God in acts of compassion and healing. Legion with his many demons. 10 lepers on the road to Jerusalem. The lady who was hemorrhaging and too ashamed to show her face. Bartimaeus, who was blind. And even Lazarus, who he pulled from his own grave. But the time that Jesus had on earth wasn't going to end. The time that Jesus had on earth ended with him being crucified on the cross. And he knew it. And he did it anyway. And we must always show respect for people who are willing to put themselves in harm's way for our benefit. People who make their career in the armed forces and in the forces protected. Putting themselves in harm's way for our benefit. It's a great distinction. When the poppy was first used, our symbol of remembrance, way back in the 1920s, it was done as an act of remembrance for the Great War, a war which was destined to be the war to end all wars. It was a reminder to people of the great loss, death and destruction. 11 million souls lost. It was also used to raise money for those who had survived the Great War, but who were so injured and damaged by it that they could no longer work to feed themselves. And today, it still is. The work of the Poppy Foundation and the British Legion carries on and is put to work worldwide for the benefit. So it's very easy to see the poppy as a symbol of death and destruction and waste. Just as it's very easy to see the symbol of our faith as a symbol of loss and death and failure. Because Jesus was crucified on the cross. But if you take a good look, you'll notice he's not on that. Not on that cross. He's not on the palm cross, not up on the board over there either. He's not on any of our crosses. Oh, he's been there. He was crucified and he did die and he was buried. But then after 3 days, Jesus was resurrected. Brought back to life as fully flesh and blood as you and I. So we can look at this cross in 2 ways. And we can see victory and joy. And we can see the ever-living love of God that goes well beyond anything we would ever deserve. I've lost count of the number of ex-servicemen who have climbed mountains, swam across lakes, rowed across oceans, hiked through deserts to raise money for charity. People who have lost limbs or been damaged in other ways. People who have turned their lives around. People like Leonard Cheshire, Devil's Father, who founded charities. Help for heroes. Things of that nature. I have lost count of the number of people you could put a name on who are doing good, who have suffered in conflict. Hear these words from Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. You can see the poppy as a symbol of loss and death and destruction, but you can also see the poppy as a symbol of hope. Every time we remember, we say never again, lest we forget. People who are doing good day in and day out are living by the words that Jesus gave us. Love one another in small things and in great things. And how like the God that loves us so much, but in a tiny little week, he gives us a symbol that once a year comes around and slaps us in the face and reminds us how stupid we are. And at the very same time, how great we could be if we were only to try. Amen. Can we have the